to turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 13, and also the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. 2 Samuel 13, Proverbs, chapter 18. I'd like to read the first five verses in 2 Samuel 13. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. When thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. And then in Proverbs chapter 18, I'd like to read verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. These two passages present two opposite examples of friendship. The passage in 2 Samuel presents a friendship that is destructive to the well-being of the individual. And the friendship that Solomon speaks of is a friendship that is beneficial to the well-being of others. So these two passages reveal that there are friends that are not really friends. And then there are friends that are truly friends. Many live their entire lives not knowing the difference. And oh, how important it is for you and I to realize the difference between friends that are not really friends and those that are truly friends. In this world, there are numerous types of what people call friendship, but again, we have to realize the difference between true friends and those that are not for our benefit or for our well-being. Friendship, whether you realize it or not, is a need. It is a need of every individual. I believe the Bible teaches this. Friendship is a need of mankind. Friendship is fellowship. Friendship is companionship. And fellowship and companionship are a necessity, something that we need. That is backed up by biblical evidence. We can go back to creation when man was in a perfect state, and even when he had perfect communion with God, God said concerning Adam that it's not good, in Genesis 2 and verse 18, that a man should be alone. Again, that was at the time before the fall. That was when man had perfect communion, perfect fellowship with God. And even then, it was not good for a man to be alone. That is, man needs a companion. He needs one of his own kind. Man was not created for solitude. Man was created for socialization. He needs friendship. He needs fellowship. He needs companionship, and that's true of everybody. There are no exceptions. That everybody needs friends. Everybody needs a friend. However, there are two types of friendship as presented in the verses that we read for our text. There are good friendships, and there are friendships that aren't good. That is, there are bad friendships. And again, we need to know the difference. Because whether it's a good friendship or whether it's a bad friendship, we need to realize that our friends have a tremendous influence upon us. That's true whether it be a bad friend or whether it be a good friend. They have tremendous influence upon us, and therefore they should be chosen with great care. There is a tremendous power. They are a tremendous power. They are a tremendous influence upon our lives. In fact, friendships can make a difference in our lives. Friendships can have power to change your entire life. Friendships can change your entire way of looking at things and your entire view of things. Friendships speak of our spiritual direction, the kind of friends that we make, the kind of people that we gravitate to, speaks volumes of our spiritual direction. And it speaks volumes also of our future. Because, humanly speaking, our friends can greatly determine our future. So, friendship, we can never overestimate the importance of friendship. And again, it's something that we need. We read in Proverbs 13 and 20, Solomon in his wisdom wrote, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." And just the opposite of that is true also. He that walketh with fools shall be a fool. We also, Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, evil communications corrupt good manners. And that is true. But just the opposite of that is true also. Good communications produce good manners. So we see that friends have a powerful influence upon us. And we all need friends. We all need true friends. We all need real friends. So I want to speak this evening upon the subject of the friendship that everybody needs. The friendship that everybody needs. First of all, let's go back to 2 Samuel 13. There is a friendship here that needs to be avoided. We see that Amnon was struggling with a temptation. He was struggling with an evil thought. He was struggling with a sin that was in his heart and in his mind. Amnon, we know, was David's son. And his problem was he lusted after his half-sister, Tamar. And as you read these first few verses, Amnon knew what he was thinking was wrong. He knew that. And he was struggling with the matter. We read there in verse 2, "And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." Amnon did not want to do what he was thinking because he knew that it was wrong. Amnon's thoughts were filthy. His thoughts were perverse. His thoughts were wicked, and he was struggling. He was struggling with these thoughts, and he did not want to do wrong to his half-sister, Tamar. But there was something that made a difference in Amnon's life. We read there in verse 3, but Amnon had a friend. Again, he thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But he had a friend who really wasn't a friend. He had a friend. And this friend made a difference in Amnon's life. His friend's name was Jonadab. And we read there in verse 3 that Jonadab was a very, and the word very is something that emphasizes the extreme. He was very subtle. He was a very subtle man, that is, crafty and cunning. And this was to the extreme. That's not a good characteristic in a friend. Those folks need to be avoided. Now, I believe by himself, Amnon would not have raped Tamar. But Amnon had a friend. Amnon was the king's son. He was well favored. He had all the silver and gold that he could want. He was royalty. He was a prince. He knew the law. He also knew what the Word of God said. And I believe that Amnon, being David's son, had been educated in the Word of God. But the problem is, Amnon had a friend. And you can educate your children. You can teach them right from wrong. But all it's going to take is a friend. But Amnon had a friend. And this friend, as you read on, you go well past verse 5 and down into verse 13, 14. We don't have time to read all that. But this friend convinced Amnon to act upon his lust. This so-called friend persuaded Amnon to do what Amnon knew was wrong. That doesn't excuse Amnon. That doesn't justify Amnon. Amnon knew it was wrong, but this friend persuaded him to do what was wrong. This so-called friend persuaded Amnon to do something that would not only bring ruin to his life, but it would bring ruin to his family. This so-called friend persuaded Amnon to do that which would ruin Tamar's life, which would leave her emotionally scarred for the rest of her life. Notice verse 20. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. What Amnon did ruined Amnon's life. What Amnon did ruined Tamar's wife. Amnon had a friend that persuaded him to do that which brought ruin to a whole family. You don't need a friend like that. But Amnon had a friend. Those lines could be written over the lives of many. Over the lives of many whose lives have been shattered and ruined, those words could be written. They had a friend. You could go to many a drug addict today, or a drunk, those caught up in all kinds of wickedness and sin, And you could ask them, when did you start to use drugs, or when did you start on this course, whatever it might be. And you would hear many times, I had a friend. I had a friend. Back in high school, me and a friend. I had a friend. Again, that doesn't, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, that doesn't excuse any actions of anybody. But those words can be written over many lives. I had a friend. Jonadab was not interested in helping Amnon. He was not interested in helping Amnon remain pure. The fact is, if Jonadab was a real friend, he would have spoken a word of rebuke to Amnon. He would have rebuked him right on the spot. He would have been honest with him and told him, Amnon, this is wrong. You know it's wrong. But instead, he encouraged him. Came up with a plan where Amnon could fulfill his lust. And I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting talking with someone from the Word of God, and they'll say, I've got this friend. And they say such and such. And what they've told them is completely contrary to the Word of God. But you see, I've got this friend. You don't need friends like that. Amnon had a friend. And we could preach a whole message on 2 Samuel 13. That's not our intent, but it teaches us the danger of some so-called friendships. Yes, friendship is a need. But nobody needs a friend like Jonadab. Nobody. Then we see in Proverbs 18, we see Solomon writes about friendship and the truest friendship of all. What is a true and real friend? What is true and real friendship? Solomon had much to say about friendship. In Proverbs 17 and verse 17, he said, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Notice in Proverbs 27 in verse 6, he said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's what Amnon needed. He needed the faithful wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Verse 9 and verse 10, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. That's what Amnon needed, hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Verse 14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. That what that verse is saying is friendship doesn't need flattery. Real friendship doesn't need that. If you've got so-called friends that need to be flattered, I've got news for you. You don't have a friend. Friendship does not need flattery. We see also in verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. So Solomon speaks upon the subject of a unique and a real friendship. A friendship quite different from what we read in 2 Samuel 13. Now the dictionary, of course, defines friendship or friends, and it's really not a real good definition. But the dictionary says that a friend is one attached to another by affection. That could even be a bad friend. One attached to another by affection or esteem. It says that friendship is the binding together of two people. That's how the dictionary defines friendship. Now, if you think about a friend, the first friend of the Bible was God. That's the first friend that you read of. God was a friend. God was a friend to Adam. God was a friend to Eve. In fact, the word friend would be a very good metaphor for God. He is a good friend. He is a real friend. He is a true friend. But many different people have defined friendship. And many of them are very good. Some have said a friend is someone who believes in you. That's true. A friend believes in you. Another person has said a friend is someone who answers your call before you call. That's a good definition of a friend. A friend is one who walks in when everybody else walks out. Another good definition of a friend. A friend is one who never gets in your way unless you're going the wrong way. That's an excellent definition. You see, that's what Amnon needed. He needed a friend at that moment to get in his way. So a friend is someone who doesn't get in your way unless you're going the wrong way. A friend reaches forth your hand and touches your heart. That also is a good definition of a friend. A friend is one with whom you can be honest. You can be honest with a friend. You can tell a friend the truth. A friend is one who's willing to have their schedule interrupted. That's a friend. That's a real friend. A friend is at the disposal of a friend and is available. That's a friend. A friend is one who shares their life and their self. A friend is one who shares joy and divides grief. Good definition of a friend. But from all of these, we see that friendship is a state of being. Friendship involves an attitude. And a true friend is one of the greatest blessings that a man can have. Amen. A friend. The world, of course, is full of sorrow, full of trials, full of tribulations, full of difficulties. But oh, what a difference a friend can make. A friend can make all the difference in times of difficulty. A friend can make all the difference in times of sorrow. The value of a friend. You cannot put a price on the value of a true friend. Now, Solomon says here in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So there is a qualification in having friends. We need true and real friends through all the ins and outs of the daily grind. We all need friends. But friendships are made. They don't just happen. They're made. And they require time, and they require effort, and they require patience. Friendship requires these things. You have to work on building friendships. And how do you work on building a friendship? It's simple. Be a friend. That's what Solomon says. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So the way to build a friendship is you be a friend. That's the way. That's the way it works. Now, many are looking for someone to be a friend to them. But you see, it doesn't work that way. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Many are looking for people to listen to their problems. You want somebody, you want a friend to listen to your problems. You want somebody to listen to your problems. You know how to make that happen. You start listening to people's problems. Be a friend. But you see, some people, they just want somebody to listen to them. They don't want a friend. They don't want to be a friend. They want a friend, but they don't want to be a friend. They want somebody to be sympathetic to them. You know how to achieve that? Be sympathetic. You be sympathetic, and people will be sympathetic in return. To a large degree, we train people how to treat us. We really do. By our own behavior. But real and true friendship is more than looking for somebody that will be a friend to me. Real and true friendship means that we must unselfishly give friendship to others. If you want a friend, be a friend. Many have a hard time finding true friendship. And the reason is because they're looking for what somebody can do for them, rather than looking for what they can do for somebody else. The basis of true friendship, and this is what Solomon is teaching us, the basis for it is be a friend. Be a friend. Be a friend. There is a blessing in being a friend, and there is a blessing in having real and true friends. But Amnon had a friend. Can we put our name in the place of Amnon concerning a real friend? Concerning a true friend. Perhaps there's been times in your life, but you can say, but I had a friend. And it made the difference. But I had a friend. This was a difficult time. I was about to go under. I was about to commit a sin here. But I had a friend. Not the kind of friend that Amnon had. I had a real friend. I had a true friend. And that friend made a difference. You say, well, I can't say that. You know why? Because you have not been a friend. Just being honest. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. So what is the characteristics of a real and true friend? We want to consider Proverbs 18:24. We want to consider 10 characteristics of a real and true friend, but at the same time remembering the truest friend of all is there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And to me, the most important word there is that word sticketh. That's what a friend does. A friend sticks. And there is no truer friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I that have friends, real friends, and everyone here should be friends. But we that have real and true friends, we're blessed. But then when we know the truest friend of all, oh, what a blessing. What a blessing to have human friends. And what a blessing to know the truest friend of all. So let's just consider briefly some characteristics of a friend. Keep in mind, if, again, these are the characteristics of a friend, and this is what we need to be if we're going to have friends. Friends, listen. These are not in order of importance. Friends, listen. There's some folks that do not have the ability to listen. God gave them two ears and they're deaf. I'm not talking about, they just do not listen. They don't want to listen. They're not interested in listening. Their only interest is talking. That person's not going to have many friends. You see, because friends listen. Genuine friends have open ears. Real and true friends want to understand. They want to understand how you feel. They want to understand what concerns you. They want to know. They want to understand. But some, they only want to tell folks what concerns them. They only want to tell folks what bothers them and how they feel. And I promise you, they don't have many friends. Real friends listen. And you know why they listen? Because they care. You know why some people cannot listen? Because they're always thinking what they're going to say next. They're not really listening to you. They're thinking, what am I going to say next? But a real friend listens. And they listen because they care. One of the best things a friend can do sometimes is just listen. I think of Job's friend. For a while, they were very faithful to Job. But they got tired of listening to Job. And pretty soon, they began to judge everything Job said. And Job said some foolish things. And don't we all? But you see, a friend will listen and throw the foolishness out. Pass over it. They listen because they care. They listen because they want to help. That's a friend. And such a friend can make a difference in your life. Be that friend. Be that friend. Be the friend that listens. And then remember, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is no one that listens like Jesus Christ, my closest friend. No one listens like him. Friends also share interest. A true and real friend will put their interests aside to help the one who needs their friendship. Such a friend will make a difference in your life. But you need to be that friend. Be that friend. The truest friend of all is Jesus Christ. And no one shares himself like Christ. No one gives of himself like Jesus Christ. He's the truest of friends. Another thing that friends do is they protect. A real friend always looks out for us. Jonadab was not looking out for Amnon. He was not looking out for the best interest of Amnon. And he certainly was not looking out for Tamar. Jonadab was a bad friend. But then think about Jonathan. Jonathan was a genuine friend to David. Jonathan protected David. Protected David from Jonathan's own dad. And he warned him and he protected him. That's what a friend will do. A friend will warn you when you're about to do something foolish. A friend will warn you when you're about to do that which is wrong. And a friend will risk another friend becoming angry with them to tell them what you're doing is stupid. What you're doing is going to ruin your life. Oh, I can't tell them that. They'll get mad. Then they're not a friend. And you're not a friend. Because a friend will tell them. And yes, they might get mad. And they may never speak to you again. But you said what needed to be said. That's a friend. A friend will protect. A friend will know how, and in one way a friend protects is they know how to keep private what's private. That's a friend. A lot of folks don't know that. They don't seem to know that it's important to keep private what's private. They don't seem to know that. But a real friend will do that, and a real friend will not allow others to slander, will not allow others to make false accusation. And such a friend can make a difference in your life. But we need to be that friend. We need to be that friend that's going to protect others. And then, of course, the truest of all friends, Jesus Christ. No one protects us like Jesus Christ. He's the truest of friends. Along those same lines, friends tell the truth. Friends tell the truth to one another. You see, a real and true friend cares enough to be honest with you. He cares enough to tell you the truth. If you've got people in your life that will tell you the truth and not just what you want to hear, you're blessed. That's a friend. We don't need to just hear what we want to hear. That won't help us. Sometimes we need to hear what we don't want to hear. But that's what a friend will do. A friend will tell us the truth. And that's what Solomon wrote there in Proverbs 27 in verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Can a friend hurt your feelings? Yes, but he does so because he cares. He does so to help. But the kisses, the flattery of an enemy, are deceitful. Real friendship, again, does not need flattery. Real friendship, as we read in Ephesians 4 and verse 15, he tells us, speak the truth in love. That's what friends do. That's what Amnon needed. Amnon was struggling. And he needed a friend to tell him the truth. He needed a friend to tell him, Amnon, you have wicked thoughts. You have evil thoughts. You need to get rid of those. That's what Amnon needed. But you see, Amnon had a friend that wasn't really a friend at all. Instead, this individual encouraged him to do what was wrong. We need to be told when we're about to do something that has dire consequences. We need to be told. That's a friend. A friend will do that. A friend will do that. A true and real friend will risk mean light just to help you. So they'll be honest. Friends, another characteristic of friends, they're friends in spite of faults. They're still friends. Every friend knows their friend's faults. And the more you get to know a friend, the more you know about their faults. And the more you know about their shortcomings, their weaknesses. But you see, friends, they accept us warts and all. That's what a friend does. You want that kind of friend? Be that kind of friend. Someone said you can tell a real friend by the fact that when you have made a fool of yourself, he doesn't believe you've done a permanent job. That's a friend. That's a friend. That is, they continue to be your friend even though you've done something stupid, for lack of a better word. They continue. To have those in your life who'll be your friend in spite of your faults, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your weirdness, those are the kind of friends who can make a difference in your life. Be that friend. And Jesus Christ is that friend. Jesus Christ accepts us. warts and all. There is no truer friend than Jesus Christ. Another thing that friends do is they bear burdens. A real and true friend unselfishly takes the burdens of others upon themselves. In other words, they help carry the load. And sometimes the best way to help carry the load is just listen. Why do people think that they always have to say something? I don't understand why people think that way, but they do. Almost everybody thinks that way. I've got to say something. No, you don't. Sometimes the best way to be a friend is not to say anything. You just listen. You just listen. Let them talk. That's what it means to bear a burden. Paul wrote in Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And oh, what a difference such a friend can make. What a difference is made when someone is there to help carry the load. You also have to bear your own burdens. People can't carry the whole thing. But it sure does help when, it sure is nice when someone helps to just carry the load. You can't carry the whole thing for them, but you can help carry some of it. And that's what friends do. And if you want that kind of friend, be that kind of friend. Bear the burdens of others. Another character, and again, there's no greater example than Jesus Christ. No one bears burdens like Jesus Christ. He's the truest of all friends. Another thing about friends is they're loyal. You can count on a friend. If you can't count on them, they're not a friend. Friends, you can count on. You may not count on your acquaintances, but a friend you can count on. Now, they may not be able to be there every step of the way. Only the Lord is that kind of friend. Only the Lord has the ability to be there 24/7. Only He. Only Him. But a friend is someone you can count on. And the loyalty and the dependability of a friend, what a difference they can make in your life. Be that kind of friend. And what a difference then we can make in someone else's life. And again, no one more loyal than Jesus Christ. There isn't a person on this earth that you could treat like you do the Lord Jesus Christ and they'd continue to be a friend to you. There is no more loyal friend than Jesus Christ. That's why I do not understand when there's a conflict between earthly friends and Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I got to please my friends. You don't have a better friend than Jesus Christ. And He's the one you'd better please. But friends are loyal. Friends bring out our best. Genuine friends always want what is best for us. If they're envious of you, if they're envious of your joy, they're not a friend. That's an enemy. Read the Bible, what it says about envy. There's nothing good. Friends want what is best for you. If you want that kind of friend, and everybody wants these kind of friends, but you got to be that kind of friend. If you want these kind of friends, you've got to be that kind of friend. Proverbs 27, verse 17, we already read the verse, but it says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That is, a friend brings out our best. A friend will challenge us to do better. A friend will challenge us to be more spiritual. A friend will challenge us to take that next step in spiritual growth. That's what a friend will do. And a friend will convict us to do what's right and encourage us to do what's right. Why? Because a friend wants what's best for us. That's what a friend does. You see, there are some people that should never be together because they bring out the worst in one another. And they always bring one another down to the lowest common denominator. Those are not friends. as iron sharpeneth iron. We need to realize that. If there are personalities that bring us down, you need to avoid that. Because a friend is not going to pull us down. Instead, they bring us up. And they bring out the best in us. A friend will make a difference. What a difference this kind of friend will make. A friend that encourages us to do more and to be more for Jesus Christ. A friend that encourages us to be more faithful to the Lord. A friend that encourages us to be in the house of God on the Lord's day. To be in the house of God when the church doors are open. That's the kind of friend that we need. Friends that bring out our best. Not the kind of friends that say, hey, it's Sunday and I know you usually go to church, but let's go to a football game today. You don't need that kind of friend. They're bringing you down. You need a real friend. One that will encourage you spiritually. Along those lines, friends, build us up spiritually. David said in Psalm 119 and verse 63, I am a companion of them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Oh, I hope that's true. There is no better companion than those who obey God. Those are friends. We need to be very particular about our friends. And our friends say a lot about us. There are some parents that need to, and I'm not saying right here and right now, but there are parents that need to wake up. When your children start hanging around with undesirables and being kind, when they start doing that, your child has a problem. And you'd better recognize it. Well, I can't pick their friends. I suppose you can't. But you'd better be concerned. And you'd better guide them and lead them. Because the friends they choose speaks volumes of the direction they're going. If they're hanging out with a bunch of dope addicts, you say, oh, my little Johnny, he don't take dope. No, he might not, but he's on the path to do it. That's the direction he's headed. Because of his friends. Because of his friends. So there, again, there's some people that just need to wake up concerning their children. And then lastly, friends, of course, love. A friend loveth at all times, Solomon said there in Proverbs 17 and verse 17. Friendship requires love. Can't have a friend, can't be a friend without love. And it is a love that is constant. It is a love that does not change when circumstances change. Now, there are times when friendships are severed. And sad to say, there are times when friendships need to be severed because of behavior. But even in those times, the friend does not stop loving. The friend does not stop praying for that individual. And if that individual decides to try to turn his life around, that friend will be there. That's a friend. It is a love that cares. It is a love that includes effort to promote the interest and the well-being of another. It is a love that is patient. There are no perfect friends other than Jesus Christ. There are none. All of our friends have faults. They all have flaws. Some of them may do some things that just bug us, but they're still friends. You see, friends, takes patience. You need to be that friend. Because if anybody's going to be a friend to you, they're going to have to be patient with you. It's a love that forbears. You need to be that friend. And again, if anybody's going to be a friend to any one of us, they have to forbear. They have to put up with some things. They have to. That's what friends do. And again, it's a love that is honest. It's honest. It is a love that includes aid. It is a love that includes trust. If you cannot trust somebody, you cannot possibly be a friend. You've got to be able to trust friends. And trust is something that is proven over time. You don't just trust somebody because they come up to you and say, hey, I'm honest. Trust has to be earned. Trust is something that's proven. Friendship, this love, involves giving. We receive, we give. That's friendship. And friendship does involve taking. You say, well, I'm not going to take anything from anybody, and you're not going to be a friend. You see, friends give and friends take. It's not an act of friendship not to receive from a friend. It's an act of friendship to receive from a friend. It's an act of friendship to give. And such a friend will make a difference. Friends always make a difference. Whether they be good friends or bad friends, they all make a difference. And all the difference that has been made in the lives of many, like Amnon, they had a friend. And all what a difference that has been made in their life. But then on the other side, there are those who have a friend. And all what a difference it's made in their life. They had this friend that was there. Was there for them, that was there to listen when they needed someone to listen. They had a friend that was there when they needed to be picked up. They had a friend. Those are the kind of friends that we need. Nobody, again, everybody wants those kind of friends. But in order to have those kind of friends, that's the kind of friends you got to be. And that's what we need to understand. You see, a friend is more than just a good time buddy. A friend is not just a person you have a good time with. If you're just looking for a buddy, there's a big difference between a good time buddy and a friend. A friend is one of life's greatest treasures. They make a difference. They make a difference in our life. And I thank God that I can look at the various circumstances of my life throughout the years, and I can say, but I had a friend. There have been friends that have been there, and they've made a difference. I give the Lord the glory, give the Lord the credit. But there have been friends that have made a difference. But the greatest friend of all, the one who's made the greatest difference of all, the greatest of all friends, is Jesus Christ. There is no greater friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we a friend of God? Remember, Abraham was called the friend of God. How wonderful to be called the friend of God. That means that we act the part of friendship towards God. We need to be the friend of God. We all need friends. Throughout my ministry, I have tried to discourage many folks from choosing some friends that they have chosen. Because not everybody that claims to be a friend is a friend. But thank God for real friends. You can look around this building tonight, and most of everybody here can say, they're my friend. They're my friend. How rich we are. That's one of the great blessings of being saved. It's one of the great blessings of being in the Lord's house, being a member of one of the Lord's churches. I have friends, the best friends in the world, our Lord's people. How blessed we are to be able to just look around and say, they're my friend. Thank somebody tonight for being a friend. Just think of being a friend. What a treasure. Friendships. Do not mistreat a friend. Do not forsake a friend. In fact, Solomon even goes further. He says, don't forsake your father's friends. Even if they're not your friends, you don't forsake your father's friends. Because you see, your father's friends were a blessing to him, and that blessed you. And again, this friendship, it goes a long, long way down the line. Thank God tonight for friends.